That was really weird.
Can I get a
podcast?
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Can I Get a Podcast on Tuesday, October 9th. I'm Jeffrey Cooperstein alongside my good friend and co-host Chris Gross. Chris, what is up, my dude?
Nothing much, man. Another, just another week.
Chris, I almost had a heart attack this weekend.
You did?
I did, yes. The Texas OU game, one of the instant classics. Texas winning 48-45 after blowing a 21-point lead with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Before Dicker the kicker kicked the game-winning field goal, I got lightheaded, and I'm not kidding.
You really did?
I really did.
I was amazed by what Texas had done.
Texas, they kicked their ass for three quarters.
Yeah. And just the comeback by Oklahoma, I was kind of, at that point when it was 45-24, I was more disappointed in Oklahoma than I was impressed with Texas. Because I was like, this is kind of sad that from what we've seen from Oklahoma so far, and they're, you know, almost being doubled up by Texas at this point. So I wasn't super surprised by the comeback, as ridiculous as it was. But
sounds like you hate Texas.
Well, I don't hate Texas, but tell me if you... So our coworker here at 103.3 FM ESPN, Harrison Graham's theory is that Tom Herman has just told Sam Ehlinger to play it safe, to not take the big risk and play to, instead of playing to, I don't want to say playing to score, that he's telling him to play not to turn the ball over.
I don't think he's playing not to turn the ball over, but I think he's playing more, I don't think he's taking the dumb chances that he did earlier that cost them football games. Obviously, he hasn't thrown a pick since that interception in Maryland that lost him the game. But it doesn't seem like the offense has gotten, like, overall more conservative, or they're still taking shots down the field. They're still getting it to their receivers. So I don't think that it's more of a conservative standpoint, whereas it's, hey, quit throwing interceptions.
Well, then what do you think the change is? Because obviously he wasn't going out there trying to throw picks.
I think that he stopped trying to be the hero.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously he tried to be the hero and tried to do everything. But he's learning to trust his receivers. He's learning to trust his pocket. The offensive line has had a lot of improvement this year, and he just feels more comfortable. He knows the offense more. He's allowed to make checks at the line now, and they look like a real Big 12 offense, which is not something that they have looked like in years.
And you did a lot. I think they took advantage of the ground game a lot. Keontae Ingram's
a beast,
and Ehlinger too. Even
Ehlinger when it's third and one, you're going to Ehlinger and the QB power. It works.
So, like I said, I was watching the game. This is obviously the big game of the weekend. 21-point lead. I'm like, you know, this is a little disappointing. Thought it was going to be better than this. Then Oklahoma ties it. What are you feeling?
Look, so when they tied it, I actually wasn't that nervous because I'm like, you know what? We've moved it on them the whole game.
Yeah.
I think we can move it on them at least to get into field goal range, which they did. But when the actual field goal attempt was about to come, I swear, like, this is not a joke. I got lightheaded, and I was like, oh, my God, this is happening right now.
Well, because you were at the game, right?
Yes, I'm at the game. I'm sitting in the Texas side with my stepdad. Great time. Love the fair. Love the game.
Shout out to Steven, by the way.
Shout out to Steve. But, man, I was super nervous. And then when he made the kick, I said, after the game, I didn't even want to celebrate. I just wanted to go home and sleep because that's how it took years off my life.
Okay, so now correct me if I'm wrong. Texas scored their final points of regulation right before the third quarter ended, right?
Yes. Yep.
So, because I remember thinking, dude, they could very easily
final touchdown.
Yeah, their final touchdown. They could very easily hang 50, if not 60, on Oklahoma the way the offense
they
could have so far.
But then they decided to get conservative, which I don't necessarily disagree with. I mean, you have a 21-point lead in the fourth quarter. You should just be able to chew some clock. But that obviously didn't work out. They lost contain on Kyler Murray, and there he goes, 67 yards down the field. And that's when I started getting a little nervous. But then when they came back and Texas had the ball with 2.5 minutes left, I thought, you know what? Okay. They're going to get into field goal range and win the game. And that's what they did.
And then Dicker the kicker.
Did you see the GIF?
I did.
It's pretty awesome. As soon as I saw that, I knew he was nails. He was making it.
That's Michael Dixon's cousin?
No, Ryan Buchefsky, the punter, number 8.
Oh, the punter.
Yes.
Okay.
Who did not have a good game.
Yeah.
He was actually kind of bad, but
so,
that's okay.
So Texas wins 48-45. This is the game winner, the walk-off, as time expired. Big game. Gus Johnson. I will say, there was one moment. Now, you didn't get to watch the game.
I saw it on replay today, actually, so I did hear most of it.
Okay. I love Gus Johnson. But there was one score in this game where it was like a random play for anybody else. It was the least excited I've ever heard Gus Johnson in a game. It was very strange. I think it was one of Oklahoma's touchdowns as they were coming on their comeback. It was very weird.
I thought the weirdest one was where he said, Texas is eating barbecue today. I thought that was really weird.
He is weird.
But this was a big game as far as the Big 12 implications go. Texas now in the driver's seat for the Big 12 to get to the Big 12 championship game. They still have West Virginia at home coming up in a few weeks. And Oklahoma also still has West Virginia. So it's looking like those three teams are going to be the ones duking it out.
Yeah, so now you've got your two front runners, I would say, in the Big 12 in Texas and Oklahoma, both with one loss. I guess you would throw West Virginia your top three. Two of them have one loss. I think this makes it very difficult now for a team to get into the playoff. I never saw West Virginia going undefeated anyway. And now, at best, you're going to have a 12-1 team.
Well, I think if Texas or Oklahoma were to win out, I think they would have a chance. I think Notre Dame's really screwing a lot of things up.
Yeah.
They need Notre Dame to lose for them to have a chance to get in. And I think Clemson is beatable. So I think Clemson could lose a game. And the ACC, I don't think the ACC is as good as the Big 12 is this year.
I think Clemson, if they have one loss, any other team will get the advantage. I can't think of the right word. I take any other one loss team over Clemson, pretty much.
Absolutely.
But then you got to think, you're most likely going to have two teams out of the SEC. You're going to have, I think, an undefeated Alabama. Georgia's only loss will be to Bama in the title game. Now, of course, anyone can slip. There are going to be two teams in. And then out of that, then you, like you said, you've got Notre Dame who's fighting to go undefeated. You got Clemson to worry about. Don't know about Washington. I don't know what you're going to do about the Pac-12.
I think the Pac-12 is done.
I agree. I think the Pac-12 and the ACC are pretty weak. You don't need to give me an excuse to not take one of them. And then you've got the Big Ten to worry about.
With Ohio State. Ohio State's clearly the best team in that conference.
I think Penn State, now the worry is a lot of people picked Penn State to start the season. You're going to have Ohio State to fall for Penn State to even make it to the title game.
Right.
And so that's going to be tough. But all those teams is who Texas is going to have to fight with if they do run the table, which I could see clearly that West Virginia game is going to be tough.
When 12-1 Florida beats Georgia in 2 weeks and they run the table and win the SEC, what's going to happen?
That is not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Florida's not good and they're ranked 14th.
There's a lot of weird rankings,
like,
I feel like.
Okay.
Virginia Tech is ranked.
I want to go on a tangent here. For instance, Kentucky's going to lose at least 4 games this year and they're ranked 17th. A&M already has lost 2 games and they just got ranked for winning in overtime at home against Kentucky, who isn't good.
The rankings are very weird.
Which is why I don't pay attention to them until at least the playoff ones come out.
And the rankings are too set on where you were the week before. I think you should each week take a reset. Like, to me, Virginia Tech, when you lose to Old Dominion,
you're gone.
To me, you can't be ranked again.
Not a chance.
Even if you beat Bama by 50. And I don't care.
And I also don't think Texas is a top 10 team, but here they are ranked number 9.
I agree. I didn't think that. Now, if you would have held on for a 3-score victory, I would have said, okay, Texas has to jump Oklahoma, but you win by a field goal at the end of the game. I don't think necessarily Texas had to end up ranked above Oklahoma.
I think you have to be ranked above them because you beat them, but I don't know if you have to be ranked 9.
Yeah, but to me, again, it goes to, that's just so ranking subjective.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we said, the rankings are just ridiculous.
So, but regardless, big win for Texas.
Yes.
Just real quickly, what do you see this doing to the Big 12's chances of putting a team in the playoff?
I don't think it really changes because I think, like I said, if Texas or Oklahoma were to run the table, I think they would have a good chance of getting in. Not sure about West Virginia simply because of they're not the brand name. And obvious, whether they say it or not, they do look at that in the college football playoff selection committee. West Virginia is the undefeated team, though, so it'll be a good race to see who's in Arlington in December.
Just real quick before we get out of here, I heard him mention it on a brand new show you can hear on 103.3 FM, ESPN 9-1, Jam Session. Heard him talking about it this morning.
Matt McLaren and Jonjock Taylor.
Yes. This is the absolute best-case scenario for ESPN in the college football playoff. You get Alabama, Notre Dame.
Texas,
yes. And Ohio State.
Absolutely.
That would be your best ratings ever.
That's what they want.
You would never be able to top that.
That's what they want.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either. I think Notre Dame's really good, though.
I am surprised they are playing better right after. And, of course, this necessitated the quarterback change.
Yes.
I was not expecting this from Notre Dame this year.
I thought they'd be really good. I didn't know if they'd be playoff contender. But
they are. And we'll see. It'll be interesting to follow the Big 12's push to get a playoff team in here. And, you know, West Virginia, they're skating on thin ice from here moving on. But that's our discussion on college football. When we come back, it was an interesting decision in Sunday night's Cowboys game. Would you or wouldn't you? That's next here on Can I Get a Podcast?
Cool.
Welcome back to Can I Get a Podcast?
Hello.
That's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. Let's talk about the Cowboys.
Do we have to. Okay.
Because this is, if you've listened to any radio, you've seen anything on TV.
Twitter.
About anything. Any talk about the Cowboys the past couple days has been about one play from their loss to the Texans. One play. They had it. It was 4th-and-1. The Texans 42.
You know what? I'll even give them the benefit of a doubt and call it 4th-and-1.5.
Okay. We'll call it 4th-and-1.5. On Houston's 42, you're in opposing territory.
That's correct.
Got about 6 minutes left in the game.
In overtime, yes.
In overtime. Now, this was the first possession for the Cowboys. So if you don't score on your first possession, the other team, any kind of score for the other team,
they win.
Game over. So Jason Garrett decides to punt it on 4th-and-1.5, and the man who had been killing him all night, DeAndre Hopkins, has a crazy play in which he sheds 3 tackles, and they set it up for the game-winning field goal. So, Jeffrey, the question that everybody's been asking, and I'm going to ask you,
yes.
What do you do on 4th-and-1?
You go for it. You have Ezekiel Elliott. You have the Cowboys offensive line, who obviously is not the offensive line of old, but it's still pretty freaking good. There's literally zero scenario under any circumstance I would not go for it in this situation.
Okay.
And I think that coaches who are willing to take the risks, Doug Peterson, Sean McVay, are the ones whose teams are doing well.
Is there anything to the fact that the play before 3rd-and-1, they gave it to Zeke and he lost a half
yard? No, there can't be. You can't think about the play before. You have to think about what play is coming up next.
Yeah, but isn't this a decision you make based on the game? I mean, you can't make this from a bird's eye view and saying Cowboys offense versus Texans defense. You have to take what had been going on in the game. Zeke did not have a good game.
I don't think you do. I think you have to compartmentalize it and say, hey, look, we have a top 3 running back in the NFL. We have Zach Martin that we can run this right over with. Let's line up. Let's go power and let's get a first down and go win the game. I think the risk would have been calculated at that point. You don't get it. You still have an opportunity to stop them. They're on their own 40. Yes, it's shorter to field goal range. But if you're a team that's serious about winning, I think you have to go for that no matter what.
I've been conflicted, but I think I've landed on Jason Garrett made the right decision. And I'll tell you why.
Go ahead. I can't.
Because Deshaun Watson was beat up. The Cowboys defense was laying hits on him. It seemed like every other play. He was not in good shape. Here's the thing that worries me. Okay. Let's say, yes, the Texans offense had been carving you up all night. That's fine. Well, I really don't want to give it to them on the 42. Then you only have how many yards to go before they can set it up for a field goal?
Well, if Deshaun Watson is getting beat up, wouldn't it give you more incentive to go for it because you think you can stop him? That's the way I see it, is that if you think you can stop them, you should be going for this. And like I said, it's obviously in that no man's land. I see, like, if it's between like the 45 and the 35, that's really no man's land. I don't think you can punt in that situation, especially now that the Cowboys are 2-3. They have Jacksonville coming in next week, and it doesn't get easier from here.
What would the reception have been if Garrett went for it on 4th-and-1 and they didn't get it?
I think it would have been, people would have been, okay, I think it would have been a little better. People would have said, all right, you know what? They didn't get it, but at least he tried. He went for it. He took a risk. And I think people would appreciate that. Obviously, Garrett's known for being the most vanilla coach possible, not doing anything special. And I think people would have actually appreciated him taking the risk, even if he didn't get it.
I think, and think back to right before halftime, it was the Texans had two plays from basically their 1 yard line, or from the Cowboys' 1 yard line. And the Cowboys' defense stopped them. And one of them was that big hit that Jalen Smith laid on Deshaun Watson. I just think Watson was so beat up. And to me, you know what? I hate to say it if I'm Garrett, but I had no faith in that offense. I had no faith. Joe Looney was banged up. We now find out Joe Looney's hurt. He hurt his ankle in that game. Your line has not looked good. Tyron has not looked like Tyron. You've got Carter Williams, who's struggling to make that transition. And Zeke, who ended up with 54 yards. One of them was a 14-yard rush. So he really had, outside of a big rush, he had about 40 yards.
The great Bill Snyder said this a couple of weeks ago about his Kansas State team who was struggling, who couldn't make a 4th-and-inches, and they ended up losing. He said, I can't coach a team who can't get 6 inches. I think that scenario applies here, except it's I can't coach a team who can't get 5 feet. I think this scenario applies. I think you have to go for it. I don't see any other way.
I think you're wrong.
That's okay. And that's why we have a podcast.
I think you go for it, you for sure lose. I think you punt it, you have a chance. And I truly, honestly feel that way.
I just cannot see it. You're on the 40-yard line. I can't see it.
Why can't you see it?
If you get the first down, you can run the clock out almost. And you can either get a touchdown or get a field goal at least, kick it back to them, and see if your defense can make a stop. I don't think the 40 is... Excuse me. I don't think the 40 is too tall of a task for the defense to stop him.
So, I don't remember where Houston ended up starting that drive.
I think it was from the 13 or.
Okay, so you had a 30 yard difference. That to you doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter to me. I think you have to show the other team you're going to impose your will, be aggressive, and try to go win the game. And they didn't do that. And now they're 2-3, and now they have one of the best teams in the NFL coming into Dallas.
If you had to count on either the Cowboys offense or the Cowboys defense to win you a game this year, who are you putting it on?
I'm going to still put it on the offense. The defense has been the better unit, but to get 1 yard, yes, I'm going to take.
Okay, but that's not what I asked. What I asked is if you had to put it in the hands of either the offense or defense to win you a game.
But that's in a vacuum. This is not a vacuum. This is a 1 yard situation.
I think that it doesn't matter either if you're looking at it from a vacuum or from what you'd seen from that game.
If it's I am trusting Ezekiel Elliott to get me from me to you is longer than what he had to get that first down.
On the last play, he couldn't do it.
That's okay. That's the last play. The last play happened. It's over with. You got to move on to the next play.
You know what? I'm okay with this. If it's 4th-and-a-half, I give it to Zeke. And I might even change my mind if it wasn't Zeke who ran the time before. But if they knew Zeke was coming on 3-and-1, they probably know he's coming on 4th-and-1.5.
Then get creative, run a play action, run a boot, run a QB sneak, do some QB sneaks far from 1.5 yards, but
it is.
They should have gone for it. There's no other way I could see otherwise.
We'll close up our discussion on that here, but it is weird because I believe there was another part in the game where they had an obvious, now that I think about it, maybe it was Houston, where they had an obvious QB sneak situation and they didn't do it. So we'll see. But Jeffrey, that's our Cowboys discussion. We're going to close out our podcast like we always do. It is called the 24-second shot clock. Here's how it works. We put 24 seconds on the clock. You get to talk about whatever you want. It doesn't even have to be sports related, but when the 24 seconds are up, when you hear that buzzer, you're done. You pass it to the next person. And Jeffrey, I'll go first here today.
Let's go.
Saw this article earlier today. Now, if you live in Dallas, you've seen these new electric scooters that you can ride around.
Are you going on a Doc Soriel rant here?
I am not. But I saw an article that talked about how easy it is to hack and break these scooters. Like, literally, all it takes is putting a sticker over, like, a barcode and you can ride it unlimitedly. Go to my Twitter, read it. I was surprised how poorly these things are made.
Real quick, what's your Twitter for the people to go see this?
At Chris is Gross, KRISISGROSS. It's a bit of a lengthy, maybe 10-minute read, but it's really
good. So all you need to do is put a sticker over the barcode and you can ride these things.
Go read the article.
I'll go read the article.
There's also talk about them if you clip the brake wires, and then there's very easy ways to get around the security. Dude, it's shocking.
That's awesome.
Like how poorly.
I'm going to have to go read this. My 24-second shot clock is on a phrase that I absolutely hate, and that is Texas is back. Texas is not back until they, at the absolute minimum, win the Big 12. They are not going to be back this year because I don't think they're going to win the Big 12. They're on the right track to making significant progress in their program, as we saw this last weekend. Texas is not back. Quit saying it.
I love the phrase.
I hate it because Joe Tessitore cursed us.
You hate the phrase because up until this point, it really had been used in a mocking fashion.
I used it in a mocking fashion.
It never will die. It literally will never die.
What if they win the national championship? Will it die?
Then it will be played real. In serious
because
fashion.
It will be real.
Yes. I don't think it's going to die. We might have to incorporate that as part of our new podcast intro.
Let's please not.
From here on going forward. So, Jeffrey, a couple ways you can listen to the podcast. Head on over to KESN1033.com. Click on featured audio at the top. Also, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. And if you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, that's a real easy way. You get it in your feed. It's right there for you to look at. As soon as we post the episode, you can download it. And like we've said, Jeffrey, if you rate and review,
that's correct.
What do we do? What are we going to do?
We're going to read them on the pod.
We will. So I'm looking at it right here. No new ratings, no new reviews. So we'll go to our rule that I instituted last week. If we get no new reviews, we'll read my favorite review so far from OG Shill, who says, great pod. He leaves a 5-star rating and says, fun listen. Best thing is I don't have to see Jeff's face when I hear it.
That's my boy Grant. Shout out.
That's pretty good. I like that a lot. So leave those ratings, leave those reviews. Jeffrey, other way you can help the podcast, you should tell who?
You need to tell your friends, Chris. Tell your fellow church members. Mm-hmm. Tell your fellow temple members. Tell your fellow mosque members. Tell your cousins, your other family members. And Chris, the most important person is who?
The ex-wives.
Yes.
Can't forget about the ex-wives. As we head out of here, follow us on Twitter. You can see that scooter article at Chris is Gross, KRISISGROSS. He's JCoopJR27.
That's me.
On Twitter. We will be back next week with another edition of Can I Get a Podcast?
Okay, thanks.